Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Clear.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. Southwest Airlines has already canceled more than 60% of its flights again, more than 2,500, according to FlightAware.com. And to say passengers are fed up would be the understatement of the week. Here's CBS's Jared Hill.
Southwest Airlines canceled more than 60% of its flights for the second day in a row, stranding thousands of frustrated flyers.
It's just unacceptable. Everybody knows that during the holidays there's going to be some delays.
Some travelers looked for other ways to reach their destinations.
We tried to get a train, and the train was booked. And then we tried to get a Greyhound bus, and that was booked. So we've got a rental car.
In a statement, Southwest offered, quote, heartfelt apologies and said, "We were fully staffed and prepared for the approaching holiday weekend when the severe weather swept across the continent."
Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg says the DOT is looking into Southwest problems. It's a slow recovery for Buffalo, New York, with almost 5 feet of snow in some places and a travel ban still in effect. Erie County Executive Mark Poloncarz.
The blizzard conditions, of course, are gone, but we're going to be responding in some ways to this blizzard for still a number of days as they continue to open up the city of Buffalo.
And there's a new concern. As the temperature rises this week, so does the chance of flooding. The West Coast is getting snow and heavy rain from Washington State to California. Weather Channel meteorologist Chris Warren.
Threat for flooding will continue. Even mudslides and landslides a possibility in the coming days. With the snow we've seen, more snow on top of it. Many areas, snow will be measured in feet. Even 5 to 6 feet.
The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that Trump-era Title 42 immigration restrictions should stay in place indefinitely. CBS's Manuel Bajorquez.
In the 5-4 decision, Justice Neil Gorsuch dissented, writing the policy's fate should fall on elected officials. We are a court of law, not policymakers of last resort.
At the Vatican,
Papa Emerito Benedetto.
Pope Francis is asking for prayers for Pope Emeritus Benedict after visiting him. Benedict is 95 years old and in failing health. Time is running out for TikTok on Capitol Hill. More on that from CBS's Courtney Keeley.
Everyone who works in the House of Representatives was warned Tuesday to delete the video sharing app TikTok from their official devices. The move comes ahead of a law that will ban the app from all U.S. government devices. Several states, cities, and universities have recently cracked down on TikTok over fear that users' data could fall into the hands of the Chinese government.
On Wall Street, S&P futures are up 8.5 points, Dow futures up 95. This is CBS News.
Brought to you by Clear, a faster, easier way through airport security. Try today for 2 months free by visiting clearme.com/CBS22 or use code CBS22.
Knucklehead CBD and Vapes is now online at knuckleheads.shop. Step into your favorite smoke shop without leaving your home. Find grinders, papers, Delta 8, and more, all from your computer or phone. With free shipping on all orders over $50, you'll be sure to find exactly what you like. You can also order for in-store pickup, so there's no wait. Knucklehead CBD and Vapes.
Visit Knuckleheads Milwaukee at 2949 North Oakland Avenue.
Order online today at knuckleheads.shop.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can, making sure they're safe and comfortable. But it's just as important that you take some time for yourself. At AARP, we can help with information and useful tips on how you can maintain a healthy life balance, care for your own physical and mental well-being, and manage the challenges of caring for a loved one. Because the better care you take of yourself, the better care you can provide for your loved one.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you.
You're there for them. We're here for you. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a while, they're Gina Beauclair.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a while, they're Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, thank you, Don. Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Don got a lot of descriptions in there. Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Oh, really, really cold. He forgot that part. It's 9 below up here on Lake Wasota right now. Yes, the lake is frozen over, in case you were curious. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense. It's Wednesday, December 21st. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Aaron Zommers is here as well. Nice to have you along. We would love to hear from you at 715-388-7155 or 844-967-2789 or email us radio at upnorthnewswi.com. Coming up this morning, we are going to visit live with State Assembly Democratic Leader Greta Neubauer as the preparations continue for the new session of the legislature right after the first of the year. It will be the first time the legislature has done any work in nearly 10 months. Republicans have ideas on what they'd like to do. Governor Evers, freshly reelected, and Leader Neubauer and Senate Leader Melissa Agard have their own ideas, and we'll see if any common ground can be found. And we'll have the latest on what Governor Evers had to say in an interview with the Associated Press about what he thinks of a couple of the Republican ideas. We're also going to have an update, of course, throughout the morning on the big storm that is threatening to gum up everybody's holiday travel plans. We'll talk to somebody from Xcel Energy coming up in our next hour. We will also talk to Todd Alba from the coincidentally named Todd Alba Show coming up at 7:50 before we wrap things up today. It's nice to be back home here on Lake Wasota. Spent the past couple of days in lovely Kalamazoo, Michigan, broadcasting from kind of a Residence Inn type hotel there, which, you know, worked out well for visiting the grandkids and giving them a place to go swimming and things like that. But, you know, it's always nice to get home after a long day of driving from Kalamazoo, which, if you've never been, is basically it's a large Eau Claire. You know, it's a big college town, you know, with Western Michigan University there, and you know, a very nice place, and some local places that you can find. You always have to go looking for the local places, because you can find all the chains. I mean, McDonald's and, you know, Panera and you know, whatever you name the chain, it's there. And you have to look a little bit harder, but boy, if you can find that right local restaurant with the good pizza recipe, or, you know, brew pub or what have you, Kalamazoo's got that along with all the other places. I will always do that, especially after a trip that I made for work years ago to Denver, or at least allegedly it was Denver. It was a conference in an airport, suburban airport hotel. And as you might know, the Denver airport is way beyond town, at least 30 miles out of town. And it was in a suburb somewhere near there. And out my hotel window, I could see all the chain restaurants. I could see all of that. If it weren't for the mountains way off in the background, I literally would not know what city I was in. You could be in any American city at that point, just based on the things that we're seeing, which, yes, on the one hand, gives you some consistency, some predictability. You know, if you've got a hankering for McDonald's fries, you're going to get it. But you have to go looking for those little local spots. For example, Aaron comes from Manitowoc, and I know, being married to a girl from the Manitowoc area, we've talked before about the Penguin. Used to be that place where they'd like to go if they were going to get a good local dinner. Now we go to Friar Tuck's, which isn't one spot. I think they have three locations or something. But where's Aaron's local dive to get some good local food in Manitowoc?
There's a few bars that have pretty good food. Like Ryan's on York is good. excuse me. It's more of like a gastropub type thing. So It's less of the normal like greasy comfort food, and it's greasy comfort food with a twist, which is interesting. Otherwise,
oh, wait, what's the twist?
Well, the twist is that you can get stuff like Korean tacos, or that they just do different seasonings. Like, I don't even know how to describe
like when a local place says, you know, there's this one thing that I like. We're not a Korean taco place, but I like Korean tacos, so they're going to be on the menu. Or, you know, other places will put, a burrito on there, but no other Mexican food. But it's the thing that they like. It's always there's always that one hodgepodge thing. For some restaurants, I know, my wife, for example, really likes Philly cheesesteaks. And some places will put a Philly cheesesteak on the menu. It won't be a Philly cheesesteak. They have the audacity to put a steak on a hoagie roll and call it, you know, Philly cheesesteak sandwich and put some cheese on it. No, that's not what it, you know, you got, it has to be sliced thin and piled up with the cheese, maybe the onions, the cheese whiz, whatnot. But other places, man, they have figured it out. They have figured out how to put a Philly cheesesteak sandwich on their menu or what have you. So anyway, this is all to say that if you ever, now that you've gone to you've heard about the places where Aaron goes in Manitowoc, if you find yourself there and you happen to see Aaron, just tap him on the shoulder, say hi that you, are a regular listener to the show, and he'll buy your dinner for you. He's just that kind of a guy.
Yeah, for sure. I will definitely do that.
Yeah, that's how high the odds are. I think that anybody listening at 6:12 in the morning is going to be dining where Aaron is in Manitowoc and recognize him and have the audacity to come tap him on the shoulder. But, you know, the challenge is there. And I think we'll all be pleasantly surprised at what we discover next time Aaron's out for a bite.
As long as you tap me on the left shoulder. If you tap me on the right shoulder, I'm not buying you anything.
Oh, yes, that's right. Always these rules. Always these rules. Back with more after this on Up North News Radio.
Mental health challenges impact us all in some way. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services is working hard to meet these challenges, ushering a new model of mental health care, redesigned with you in mind. This community-based system meets people where they're at, with culturally competent services, better access, and no wrong doors to begin the journey. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services, here for you, close to home. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health emergency, contact 414-257-7222.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio, VO5. Let's do it. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
blend of clouds and sun today with daytime highs approaching 39. Southerly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Lows level off around 36. Tonight, cloudy skies expected. Overcast skies tomorrow, high of 46. Turning cooler Friday and Saturday with highs in the upper 30s. Chance for scattered showers Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 23 degrees.
The SHA 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
Well, I can't say it enough, especially coming off your local forecast there just now. This is nothing to mess around with and nothing to take unnecessary chances with. Now, in this case, it's not so much that it's a massive amount of snowfall, but it's that they already know, because of the way this storm is wound up so tight, they already know how windy it is going to be. And it, you don't need a lot of snow combined with a lot of wind to give you blizzard conditions. You know, blizzard conditions aren't a function of snow only. They're a function of pretty much any snowfall plus high winds. That's what, you know, really makes visibility poor. The cold air that is coming in behind that leads to life-threatening conditions. And so there are parts here around Lake Wissota that are expecting, you know, 5 to 8 inches of snow. But even if you don't get that much, these winds are still going to be in the 40 to 50 mile an hour range, which also is leading to wind chill watches and warnings with wind chills, you know, of 35 below zero is expected. And that frankly can lead to life-threatening travel conditions if something goes wrong for you, for the tow truck drivers that got to come get you, for everybody else that, you know, could conceivably, you know, sneak up on you if you stall out, you know, while you're still in the lane of traffic or whatnot. I still feel a little bit scarred from 3 years ago when we had, I mean, true whiteout conditions. We all think that we've driven in whiteout conditions, you know, really windy and such. There was one 3 years ago that was, I mean, far and away worse than any of that. And I had to drive 29 from Wausau to Chippewa Falls. And that entire way was, you know, something I'd never experienced before, where it was so darn near impossible to tell if you were on the road or not. And you didn't want to run into the back of somebody, but you also didn't want some fool going too fast to run into the back of you. And I'm thinking we may have something like that coming up yet this week. So please make adjustments accordingly for your plans so that if you are getting someplace, you are going to get there safely. Sad to note, a passing in the sports world here. We were getting set this weekend to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Immaculate Reception. And the person who pulled that off, Franco Harris, the Hall of Fame running back, has passed away at the age of 72. No cause of death given by his son as he passed the news along to the media. Harris's death comes just 2 days before the 50th anniversary of the play that provided the jolt that helped transform the Steelers from also-rans into one of the NFL's elite teams. And Pittsburgh was going to retire his number 32 jersey during a halftime ceremony with its game against the Las Vegas Raiders. Franco Harris ran for more than 12,000 yards and won 4 Super Bowl rings with the Pittsburgh Steelers in the 1970s. I mean, just a real dynasty. And that catch, the Immaculate Reception, was just a last-second heave by Terry Bradshaw in a playoff game against Oakland in 1972. And, you know, between them and, you know, Mean Joe Green, everybody else there at the Steel Curtain, it was, everybody talks about Dallas, you know, the Cowboys being America's team, but right before that, there was the Pittsburgh Steelers, and everybody wanted to be them. So happy trails, I guess, to Franco Harris for a life well-lived. Passing away just a couple of days before the big 50th anniversary of the Immaculate Reception, passing away at the age of 72. We're going to be talking in a little while here with Assembly Democratic Leader Greta Neubauer, and there will be a lot to say about what conceivably could be done with the next state budget and the huge surplus that has amassed because of a good stewardship of the economy as we come out the worst, we hope, of the pandemic. Governor Evers has also been talking about such matters and just had an interview with the Associated Press and made clear that he's going to veto any flat tax plan that comes from Republicans, and that he thinks that his middle class tax cut proposal is the way to go. And as I explain the details to you again, that should be fairly obvious. And again, it's a little puzzling why Republicans aren't seeking more of a win-win on the plan. And the GOP plan would eliminate the state's highest tax bracket for the wealthiest households in Wisconsin, the ones who make about $281,000 a year or more for married joint filers. Their tax bracket is 7.65%. A flat tax that brings everybody down to the lowest bracket would be bringing everybody down to 3.5%, which means that the people at the lowest brackets would get not much of a tax cut, and the people at the highest brackets would get a monster tax cut, which, while that may work for a lot of, you know, Republican voters, isn't really going to work for the state economy or for most people in Wisconsin, for that matter. Governor Evers, you know, released a tax cut plan in August as he was running for re-election. And as he promised back then, he said again that that plan is what he's going to include in his version of a two-year state budget bill that he will deliver to the legislature on February 15th. Now, under the Evers plan, taxes would be cut by $600 million a year, including a 10% tax cut for individuals who earn less than $100,000 a year or families that earn less than $150,000 a year. The Evers proposal also includes capping the copay for insulin at $35, repealing the state's minimum markup law in an effort to lower gas prices. It would cut taxes for seniors on fixed incomes, expand property tax relief for veterans with disabilities, and would make an attempt to lower the cost of caregiving and childcare. These are all things that people, that families in Wisconsin need, would benefit from, far more so than, you know, the folks in the Tim Michaels tax bracket, the Ron Johnson tax bracket, you know, paying a lot less in taxes and not exactly putting the savings to work, shall we say, the way that the savings would be put to work if that tax cut were to go to more people and be put to more productive use in the economy, to create jobs, to make childcare more affordable, to expand healthcare options and things like that. So we will talk to Representative Greta Neubauer next hour about that and other priorities that, you know, she might have, she and fellow Democrats have. Now, obviously, they're in the minority. It's not that they can make anything happen with their votes alone, but what they can do is make their case as to, you know, why their ideas should be taken more seriously, why they should be taken up by Republicans. And then the name of the game, it, when all of this is said and done, is to stop the brinksmanship and for, you know, the governor and for Republican leaders to grab a little bit of column A, a little bit out of column B, put together something that is going to lead to a tax cut, but also is going to lead to some other spending reforms that can leave the entire state in a better position. Meanwhile, over on the federal side, there is a budget bill that's being worked on. There's a budget bill, and it's called an omnibus spending bill. It's a bipartisan bill. It's basically an effort to avoid another government shutdown. Well, anytime that happens, folks want to throw the kitchen sink into this bill because it's a bill that has to pass. Everybody understands that. It's certainly not the best way to run the legislative branch of a country or a state, but it is the system that we've got right now. And we have things that are going to be included in the bill, things that are not going to be included in the bill, along with the spending language that keeps the government operating. Now, one of the things that it looks like will be included in the bill is the Electoral Count Act, which is a sweeping series of reforms to how Congress counts electoral votes in a way to prevent Donald Trump or somebody like him from ever again trying to interfere with or even overturn an American election. It reaffirms that the vice president's role is ministerial. It's for show. It's a figurehead. You know, whereas Trump was trying to get Mike Pence to actually rule that certain states' electors would or would not be counted, including for Wisconsin, as part of a plot that, you know, was going to include Ron Johnson potentially at the last minute. And this bill makes clear that the vice president cannot do that. It also raises the threshold necessary for members of Congress to object to a state's electors. Again, bear in mind that Tom Tiffany and Scott Fitzgerald actually objected to the certified votes that were counted by a couple of states, said that in their mind, those votes shouldn't count, that there's something funny there that they never could prove. It was nothing more than an attempt to undermine the legitimacy of Joe Biden's election. And so this bill would raise that threshold of what's necessary for Congress to object to the state's electors. So those matters are going to pass probably in the omnibus bill that, again, makes sure that the government is going to be funded. There are other things that are coming up, being spoken of, that may not make the bill. And that includes a way to, again, ease the transition of Afghan refugees towards citizenship. And also something that looks like it won't get done before the end of the year is a bipartisan immigration reform bill. We're certainly hearing a lot about what's happening at the southern border. We certainly are aware that our Afghan allies who we evacuated out of there deserve to not be kept in limbo. Unfortunately, we still have far too many Republicans who aren't interested in pursuing solutions to any of these things, but merely, you know, grandstanding and to, you know, raise criticisms, but not actually do the work of getting something done. When it comes to this spending bill, for example, we're hearing again a chorus of people saying, read the bill, and Republicans talking about how many pages are in the bill and that nobody could possibly read all this. Yeah, we know. You guys did the same thing. There was this massive tax cut for the very wealthy that blew a $2 trillion hole in the deficit and was such a giveaway to millionaires and billionaires. But again, in rushing that one through, there wasn't enough time to let Americans know what the details were that are in that thing. And so I guess just spare us the drama of talking about reading every page of a bill. As somebody who has read through a state budget bill and passed a state budget bill, you're not going to read all of the numbers. That's why you rely on good nonpartisan staff to put these things together, to summarize, to interpret, and then you make the votes and you stand for something, for or against it. And that's what we're looking to see in D.C. and Madison in the coming weeks and months, and not grandstanding. Let's take a break. More after this on Up North News Radio.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Southwest Airlines has canceled more than 60% of its flights for the third straight day. CEO Bob Jordan is in damage control mode.
We're focused on safely getting all of the pieces back into position to end this rolling struggle.
Much of Western New York remains paralyzed by that big snowstorm with the travel ban still in effect. Here's CBS's Michael George.
Buffalo's airport has recorded more than 51 inches of snow the past 4 days, paralyzing the city. Gusting winds were brutal. ice, not just on the roads, but encasing entire buildings.
The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that Trump COVID-era immigration restrictions should stay in place indefinitely. Loyola Law's Jessica Levinson.
The case will be heard in February, and we'll probably learn more about any administration's power to enact these type of restrictions under Title 42.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gina Beauclair.
Whoa, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM, The Shaw.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
I don't know about you, but we stocked up on groceries last night, so we've got enough hot cocoa here and milk and other accompaniments for it and other meals that are going to be planned, and we just are planning to watch what happens outside. We know eventually all that snow is going to have to be moved, but the wind is going to do a lot of that moving. So please take it easy out there over these next couple of days and try to minimize or reschedule your travels if possible. Some good news out of the city of Wausau, and with it comes a reminder that local government is all about doing the things that we think just happen out there. And that sometimes the things that just happen have to come with a price tag attached to them because of factors that are outside of the control of a city or its taxpayers. The city of Wausau now has a new drinking water facility that's operational. It has taken 2 years of construction. After 4 years of planning, the testing shows that the water there is performing well and is a significantly higher quality by removing the iron, the manganese, organics, and color. Over the past few weeks, the city's been running two separate water treatment facilities to maintain the distribution system and ensure the water is safe and perform any emergency repairs. There's about 200 miles of water mains and millions of gallons of water storage facility. And so it's going to take a while to make the full cut over, but it is something that has to happen in a community that is dealing with PFAS. That would be those industrial chemicals that there's like 5,000 of them, of these different chemicals. And so they've been found in water systems across Wisconsin, and it's something that the city has to deal with now. And it's kind of pleasant the way to get updates. You know, you can get it through press releases, but sometimes you can get it through tweets. And in this case, Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg begins a thread saying, "I'm so happy to share that the team is heading over right now to turn on the valves for Wausau's new drinking water treatment facility, and is getting set to send out a press release, but wants to share some of the important points first." And in it, she notes, "The PFAS testing from the new facility has tested below detectable limits. The other water treatments are exceeding specification requirements. And the team says the water quality is very good." She again talks about the 200 miles of pipes that go along with it, and that there are just some final connections that need to be made. But then she doesn't just sugarcoat it. She goes on to explain that, you know, with this comes the price tag. And, you know, you always wonder what price would you put on clean water? We're very lucky here to have as much clean water as we do. We've said many a time, folks in Arizona and Nevada would love to, you know, stick a giant straw over in Wisconsin and, you know, suck away some of our fresh water if only they could. But it's not just as easy as, you know, digging one well and the water comes out for free. And Mayor Rosenberg, to her credit, has been explaining some of the financial responsibilities that are involved, because some of these water rates could be going up like 65%. And people were asking, you know, why is that higher than what was planned? And as Katie Rosenberg notes, a lot has happened since 2019 when that forecast came out. The initial forecast was for a 45% rate increase to cover the debt on the cost of building a new facility, the increased operations and the maintenance. Well, costs, of course, have gone up, as we know, not just for operations, but for construction. Then you had the PFAS matter come up, and you had to figure out a permanent solution for removing those industrial chemicals from the drinking water. Now the Public Service Commission is hearing all the information about the higher costs, but it is going to lead to higher water bills. As a result, let me scroll down here. It looks like the average family is looking at an increase of about $200 a year for the water coming out of the tap. Now, there are resources available, such as the low-income household water assistance program, the Wisconsin Emergency Rental Assistance Program, Wisconsin Help for Homeowners. And then Mayor Rosenberg says they're looking for their grant opportunities, state and federal money, anything else to help minimize the potential for future rate increases. But as she says in closing, while nobody likes to hear this kind of news, she's hopeful that they're doing the right things for generations to come by future-proofing the drinking water treatment facility and providing great water for residents. Again, clean water doesn't just happen. I know that when, as a legislator, we would talk about how do you express what's in the state budget or local budgets to folks, I always used the example of wastewater treatment facilities, something that I would tour as a reporter and as a legislator. You kind of get to see, you know, behind the curtain of local government operations. And just that alone, the wastewater treatment plant, if you were to visit it and see all that's involved, so that we're not just dumping all of our waste right into the Chippewa River, you know, right into Lake Wissota. If you'd see all that, you'd understand why your tax bill isn't $0. That's always been one of my pet peeves is people, you know, say, no, there shouldn't be any taxes or, you know, as minimal as possible. And it's like, well, again, the water doesn't just come to your house by itself. And again, potholes don't fill themselves and so forth and so on. And I just think that water quality is a great example of what it is that we should be aiming for at the local and state levels to have something that works, to be efficient, to be cost effective, but it won't be free. And so as a result, yeah, water bills are going to go up in Wausau and some of these other communities that are facing PFAS contamination. But if you've got good leadership that's planning ahead for the future, well, then you can get it done right and get it done by hopefully minimizing the financial impact. But it's not going to be free. Things don't just happen like that. Another local story, this one down in Milwaukee, and this is about the Trump administration interfering with the U.S. Census. Again, one of those things that I thought there would be more outrage about. And there was a little bit in the moment, but unfortunately, I think we've become so jaded and just so used to a certain sector of politics, you know, monkeying with government and trying to throw a wrench into things that people didn't up in arms as I thought they would at the news that the Trump administration was trying to shortchange the census, cut short the counting, knowing full well the reason why, that if you undercount in larger cities that typically have more Democratic voters, that's essentially a form of voter suppression. You're diluting the power of the votes. You're diluting the number of votes or aid that could come to that community. And yet, again, very little was done about it. But now the city of Milwaukee has decided, after being skeptical of the 2020 census tally all along, they are formally challenging the finding that the city lost about 3% of its population over the last decade. The city leaders argued that the once-in-a-decade survey fell short by as much as 16,500 residents from true population figures. The mayor, Cavalier Johnson, had a news conference on Tuesday announcing that they would join Detroit and Boston in challenging the results of the survey. Federal resources are really important as cities face increasingly tight budgets, thanks to, you know, especially budget austerity from Republicans at the state level. And so it's important that everybody be counted so that every community can get the, you know, their fair share of the pie, shall we say. Again, the census results came out in August of 2021, finding that the city's population had dropped. Then Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett questioned the population drop, and Johnson has taken up the cause as well. The 2020 census faced shifting deadlines. There was a shortfall in funding. There was difficulty in hiring the required number of census workers. And President Trump was trying but failing to get a citizenship question on the survey. And even though he wasn't successful in that, the news about it probably scared away some folks who did not want to be counted for fear that being counted would lead to being deported, when the two things are separate. A census is only a count. It is not something that is used for immigration enforcement. But again, try telling that to folks who are skittish enough as it is trying to support their families. And then the administration decided to end the count early, using the COVID-19 pandemic as an excuse, when I think most folks saw what a political maneuver that it really was. So what the process is, is not clear to me yet. I'll try to read up on it and let you know how that's going to come about and see if we can't have a more accurate reflection of the population of our communities, so that, again, we are dealing with, you know, basically apples to apples. Sports, the Milwaukee Bucks are playing tonight. They are in Cleveland. 6 o'clock will be the start time there. And then the Packers play Miami. They're in Miami on Sunday. Aaron, I'm shocked to tell you that the Packer game on Sunday against Miami is at noon. Yes, believe it or not, the Packers are not playing a primetime game.
Well, I don't know if that means that's just how it's scheduled or if they've lost their spot or anything like that. But
I don't think they've been flexed or anything, but, you know, coming off a Monday night game and then there was a Thursday night game. And I think there was a Sunday night game before that, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, when your team is terrible, you always get to play Sunday at noon. You never get the primetime game. But so it's almost, unusual now that the Packers are back off of primetime and playing just a plain old noon game on a Sunday, something we can actually count on, which we might need, again, given what we've gone through here with the weather. You know, we might all be hunkered down at this point. So I was talking earlier about immigration and people who want to, waste time and waste money rather than looking for comprehensive solutions. And it reminds me of the stunt that the outgoing Republican governor of Arizona, Doug Ducey, has pulled. He has so far spent $82 million in taxpayer dollars to stack shipping containers along the border, essentially a wall, but a wall of shipping containers. That isn't going to work, again, because like everything else, you can find a way around it, through it, whatever the case may be. And yet, even as every one of these 9,000-pound containers forms a brick in a quote-unquote wall, they're also doing environmental damage. They're creating just an out-and-out eyesore. They're also making it tougher to see what's going on the other side of the border, making it tougher to find people who are coming into the country illegally. So none of it is helpful. And yet these stunts are the kinds of things that we see now. And I just had to laugh at how a New York Times story about it closed. There was a Republican sheriff who supports this idea and obviously wants to see something done because of all the folks that are trying to get into the country. And so he says, well, he favors it. He says he does make one request. I've asked the state to paint them. After all, we don't want our deserts to look ugly. So there they've already spent $80 million to put all these old shipping containers for miles and miles and miles along a wall. Now we're supposed to paint it as well?
Now that's a situation of putting lipstick on a pig if I've ever seen one.
Yes. And so now the new governor has to decide whether to keep it or spend the money to tear it all down. Just another mess because of another stunt. This Day in History next on Up North News Radio.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
The Devil's Advocates.
But do you think the Biden administration's calling up Laura Ingraham and making the announcement to the world that we're invading Russia with amphibious troops? Come on, Trump. I mean, and I want to hear fine Trumpsters that want to defend that crap. You know, he's a little late for the early bird buffet. Maybe you people were just naive marks who believed he was a super genius. Then I got some land I'd like to sell you outside of Fukushima.
Check out the entire podcast library at darnwi.com.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show, and we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Here's your
your updated forecast on the Shaw. A mix of clouds and sun today, with daytime highs approaching 39. Winds out of the south, 10 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast skies tonight, lows dip down to about 36. Overcast skies again tomorrow, highs level off around 46. Dry with temps a bit above average, Friday and Saturday, and highs in the upper 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 23 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Yes. Mental health challenges impact us all in some way. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services is working hard to meet these challenges, ushering a new model of mental health care, redesigned with you in mind. This community-based system meets people where they're at, with culturally competent services, better access, and no wrong doors to begin the journey. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services, here for you, close to home. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health emergency, contact 414-257-7222.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.